I was debating on what I was going to do because I guess it was a couple months ago, I done a lesson on grace, and we didn't get to record it, so I was going to do that again because Calvin wanted to put it out on the air. So I'm going to, but I changed it. Because I felt like this is maybe something more, or no, I won't say more important, something as important is the testing of our faith. James, the book of James is one of my favorite books. It really gets down to the core of life, right down to where we really live. And he deals with the everyday things of life and how we live it and who we really are when we are living it and how we deal with life. And I read it not real often, but I do try to read it quite often. But anyway, in James 1 and 2, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of us really, when we go through problems of life and struggles and things that come our way that we can't deal with so easy, and do we do it with joy? You know, I don't know about you, but I wound up most of the time complaining. This ain't right. I got to do this. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Or, you know, it takes our mind away from God more than bring God to us sometimes. And, we don't necessarily rejoice in that situation, do we? James tells us, he said, rejoice, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into certain trials and tribulations. But he went on to say this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, it's like, I didn't put this verse in here, but I was thinking I probably need to read it because I don't know of a better example than when Jesus went to the cross. Do you think he really wanted to go through that cross? That pain and agony and the beatings and the shame and all the things that he had to go through, do you really think that he had a joy to do that? Well, listen what it says here in the 12th chapter of Hebrew, verse 2. And I didn't put it in here. I got to think about it later. I thought I'd better read this because this is really what James is trying to get to. It says here, looking unto Jesus. We look to him. And how did he handle this situation? Looking to Jesus, his authority and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, we know it wasn't a joy for him to go through that. We know it wasn't a joy for him to get mistreated and all. And then went on to say, despairing the shame of the cross, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What gave him the joy is knew what the outcome was going to bring. This is where we ought to see trials. We don't like going through trials and problems and headaches and whatever we go through. And be joyful about it, but we should be thankful of the outcome that's coming from it. And one of the things that comes from our patience, from going through trials and tribulations or whatever we go through, it helps us to grow with patience. I don't know about you. I think I'm more patient than I was at one point in my life, but I still got some growth. God wants to take the problems that come our way, our trials, our tribulation, whatever we want to call them, and help us to grow in our faith. He makes it very plain there. These things produce patience. Now, what he's saying is the same thing Paul's saying right here. Look what Paul says in Romans 5, 2 through 4. Through Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. In God's wisdom, he knew that these are the kind of things, the problems of life is what matures us, what helps us grow up in the faith, if we'll trust him through it. Because we all go through things. You know, even the world goes through problems. We're not the only ones. Now, our problems may be a little different. If we stand for Christ, we might get some persecution from it. But even if that, we still get financial problems. We still get sickness. We still get other things that come our way. He's telling us here, though, we don't always have to necessarily believe these things are bad for us, because God said, I'll take these things and mature you. Grow us up. And the body of Christ is where we want to get to. We too can grow together in circumstances. Because I think right now we seem to, we got a few people that's kind of drifted, and it's kind of a downer to think, you know, where we were, where we at. But, you know, you could let this divide us, destroy us, or it could help us to grow more. Maybe not necessarily physically, but spiritually. What does it do for us? It helps us to, what? Let's see. He said, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our troubles which came to Asia, in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. If we never had a problem, I wonder if we'd ever go to God. As Christians, this is what these things do for us, even as a body of Christ. When things may not seem to be going so well, it should push us to realize that the church is not ours, it's his. And he uses certain circumstances in life to help us grow together to depend upon him more. See, I think I could be honest about this. For most of us, when you got nowhere to go, no way to handle something, when you got a problem that you don't know how to figure out, you can't necessarily buy your way out, what do you do as a Christian? It might push you to your knees, you know that? We might say, Lord, I've done this before. I said, Lord, I don't have no answer. I don't. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to handle this. It's over my head. But I tell you what I will do. I will pray. And I'll ask you, help me to trust you through this situation. I've been there before, and probably most of you have. And that's good. God wants us to know that He is there. And you know, another thing about our problems is if He's got you through this one, and you come on up the road of life and you get another problem, and then you look back and say, well, He helped me through that one. He'll help me through this one. And then you go a little further in life, and it comes like that, comes and goes. Then when you get a huge problem, you've seen how God's helped you this far. You show me a Christian that's been through a hard and rough time and succeeded, I'll show you a strong Christian. Because it's a place, I can't think about how the early Christians must have done this. With some of the things they were tormented with. I can't even imagine what it would be like. And I was talking to Susan about this. I wonder where I would be if it got to a place in life to where they would come in, drag my wife out and feed her to the lion, or drag me out and feed me to the lion. What would she do? What would we do in those kind of settings? We don't know. I don't know. May never come to something like that. We don't know what our life may hold, but I'm just saying, why would God allow such a thing to the church? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. We'll sit at the end. I'll jump ahead a little bit. Because it proves your faith. It proves you're real. It'll tell you. And you know, I got to think about this. It ain't God's trying to figure out where we are. I think He knows where we are. He's trying to get us to see where we are. When you get under persecution, pressure, and things of life, it'll bring out the worst in you or the best. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? And then you look back on it and say, man, I failed that test. Or you can look back and say, you know, the Lord brought me through that. Because that's how it works. That's what the life of Christianity is. That's what this is all about, getting us through this life. We're going through our wilderness right now, by the way. And God's wanting to say, test our faith. That's what He did to Israel. Test their faith. Where are you with me? God said. Many bail out. Many can't handle the problems of life. They just bail out. They think, well, God's not working for me, so I'll go elsewhere. Maybe a drug will work. Maybe sex will work. Maybe something out there else will work. This ain't working for me. So maybe see it that way. Where are you at? See, that's the main thing. Where are we at? You know, the faithfulness that God's looking for is how much do you trust me? In the good times only, or in the bad times too? That's what makes a real Christian. I know I've seen it in my life, but all of us, we don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds. You don't either. We have no idea. I don't know what test is coming. Because He already said in James, test his faith. I don't know. He says He won't put more on us than we could bear. But I'm trying to use this because I wanted us to be challenged a little bit this morning. All of us. See, Paul, these trials gave Paul a stronger prayer life. Praying always, he says, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. You pray for the saints. You pray for me. Do I pray for you? Do we pray for each other? But what kind of prayer life do we have? See, I think these trials and tribulations of life, the problems of life, will push us on our knees, like I said earlier. Because sometimes, you ever thought about during the day how much you pray? Usually we don't, I don't know about y'all, I don't pray a lot when I've got this going on, that going on, this. But if something comes up that's pretty hurtful or something that I hear that somebody needs prayer, then it'll cause me to take the time to really pray. Prayer is very important, isn't it? That's how we talk to our God. He opened that door for us. He said, come to me in prayer. He wants us to come to him in prayer. Because that is our mediator. He is our mediator. And he says, I want to hear from you. You know, you don't have too much of a, what's the word I want to use? Too much of a connection to someone if you don't talk to them very much. You don't put no interest in them. You don't spend a lot of time with them. What kind of relationship is that? See, God wants us to talk to him. Talk to him. No, not just in the bad times. We need to praise him and thank him for what he's done. But Paul said, I believe that's why Paul was such a praying man, because as much as he went through and all the problems he had to pray. Jesus prayed a lot, didn't he? This is so important for us to be about that prayer life. You know, the Lord did not leave us helpless. Now, he knew we were going to be going through problems. He knew that. And he made this promise back in John 14, and I know he made it specifically at this time to the apostles, but not just to them. He said, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the Lord cannot receive, or the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's one thing that we got to, when you think about our baptism, we start right there. We get this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. What is he, just there? Does he do anything for us? What's the purpose? He said, he comes to give us the ability, the power, the mind, the strength to get through this life. God said, I'm not going to leave you as little children with no hope, no way. No, he said, I'm coming to take part in your life while you live here. And he is. He's living in us now. And that's why baptism is so important, because that's where we get the Holy Spirit. It has to start there. That's the beginning. He said, now I've given you the Comforter. He called it the Comforter. to help you in the times of need. We strengthen through His Spirit. He says that in Ephesians 3:14 through 16. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees," Paul said, "to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth." You mean there's a family in heaven too? Oh, yeah. They've gone on. They've run their race, the ones that's gone. "And on earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory." Now look what it says. "To be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man." If you read on in these verses, it says, daily, Holy Spirit strengthens us. Now, one way He does that is through this Word. That's why this Word is so important. Because if we feed ourselves with the Word of God, it develops a mindset of God. And it will help us to pray, to trust, to believe that God is real. He's out there in heaven, yeah, but He's also here in my heart, in our, within us. And He says, "I'm not going to leave you. You trust me. Trust me. I don't care what we're going through. Trust me." Because it may not turn out the way we want, whatever our problem is, because most of the time the flesh wants something the opposite of what God wants, in majority of times, you know that. You ever, when we pray, do you pray like this after your prayer? "Lord, Your will be done, not mine." You know, when you pray like that, you're really asking God to answer the prayer His way. And sometimes we don't like His answers. Sometimes we don't. It don't fit with what we want. I've prayed before about things and didn't turn out the way I wanted. I could have said, well, either my prayer was useless, or God thought something different that I needed. Now, I got to believe I'm a Christian. I got to believe my prayer life has some kind of connection with God. If I prayed wrong, then that might have been it. But whatever I prayed for, if I asked God to do it His way, then I got to be ready to accept that. Whatever problem we got. That ain't easy. That's not easy. Y'all remember, what was the guy that we baptized here and died? We prayed for him here. Sydney. He come up in front of the elders and we laid hands on him and we prayed for him. And, you know, he was sick. And we just knew, anyway, we thought maybe God would answer that prayer. He'd be healed and get through his sickness. He died. Was our prayers useless? No, that was God's will, I believe. That's hard, though, because it doesn't fit with the norm. Because we got people out here tell you, if you pray a prayer about that sickness and you're not healed, you don't have the faith. That's not true. I can have the faith, but it's God's will that's to be done, not me, not what I want. Those kind of prayers are just to make people happy. But I'm just trying to get us to see what real faith is. It's trusting God in times of our problems, whatever they may be. And, you know, get a little bit afraid about teaching and preaching something like this because I don't know what's coming down the pike. I don't know what's around the corner. Am I going to live what I just taught? But God wants us to say, I mean, I can't imagine. I have to keep going back to the early Christians. If you read the book of Hebrews, some of the things that happened, they would burn at the stake. They would, some lost their head. Some did this. Some done. I mean, their problems were way above ours. But you know what? We still got problems. We still got problems that affect us and our faith. So we got to learn to trust God. We got to learn when we go through these trials. Oh, I don't have to be joyful going through them, but I can be joyful about going through them because God is in the mix. And I should rejoice for the outcome. None of us like problems. We like, I know I don't, and I know most of us don't. But as the church, when we go through problems, whatever they may be, we've got to learn that God uses them for our good. That's the whole point. We also can help others through these trials. Listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort in which we ourselves are comforted by God. What is he saying? You know, the things that I may have been through before that somebody else may be going through now, I may can help them through that. We need to learn, we need to really learn to be there for each other. This is part of these trials that come our way as a church too. It helps us to grow together. It helps us to learn to trust and hold on to each other through these kind of things. Because don't think for a minute that we won't go through things as a congregation. We will. But with God's help, we can comfort and help comfort. Our problems will test our love toward each other. Do you care about what I go through? Do you? Do I care about what you're going through? You know, I can ignore that. I don't have to care. I can just say, oh, sorry you're going through that. Are you praying for me about it? Do you care that my problems may become part of yours sometime? That this is what makes a strong church. And this is what makes a strong Christian. Because too many times we're so busy with our personal life, I don't have time for your life. That happens so easy. And God wants us to see it this way. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. How important is that? And I guess that's the one thing that irritates me more than any, and I'm just telling you where I'm at, when people don't come support the work. When they don't come around this table and around you to help support each other. Because we may not admit it, but when you're gone, when you're not here, I'm not here, it affects us. It affects, especially if you're small as we are, it affects us. Because we have to have each other. Why do you think God set a church up? Why? He knew that we needed each other. You show me a Lone Ranger Christian and I'll show you one's going to die spiritually. Won't happen. You got to have a support system. And anybody that's been through problems, why do you think AA drug addicts have to have a system to where they could come and be supported? Because they need others that like precious people who's been there, done that, they bounce off of one another. And by the way, we all in the same boat here. Y'all know that, right? We know that when you're in the church, you're in the same boat with everybody else. So we all know, to some degree, what it is to be a Christian and what it is that we have to do as we get through this life. Our ultimate goal is to make eternal life. And I can help you get there. You could help me. And that's what these trials help us do. It helps us to group together as a support system. And we comfort each other as we go through things, hopefully. This is my last slide. Trials prove the genuineness of our faith. In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, just a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuine of your faith, what did he say, being much more precious than gold, that perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you've not seen, but you love. Is whatever we go through in this life, will it be worth it? I assure you one thing, it will be, whatever it is. If we hold on, stay faithful, not only to Christ, but each other. When we get to the other side, when we get to the finish line, I guarantee you one thing, it'll be worth it. But we ain't there yet. So we keep pushing forward. We keep working. You know, our faith is so important. And you know, when people walk out, people leave, that kind of thing, puts a damper on things, don't it? But those who stay, got the roots deep, they're the ones. They're the ones that make the church happen. They're the ones who make us get to the other side. Yeah. I've been in church a while. I've seen a lot of them leave. But I've seen a lot of them stay. Because how important it is for you and me, us, to get through this walk of faith together. Wouldn't it be sad to be there on Judgment Day and see someone that once sat in these chairs lost? I mean, they can always go somewhere else. I'm not saying that they didn't, but I'm just saying some don't. Some just leave totally. And on Judgment Day, where are they going to be? Over there? How is that? I mean, that's awful to think that. But that's as real as it can get. So anyway, I hope this lesson will help us understand, maybe strengthen our faith to see why going through things may not be necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of things for us. grows us, strengthens us, makes us a stronger Christian, and definitely makes us depend on God more. I think that's a good thing. Y'all can stand if you'd like. I'm going to close with a song.